Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Live today, Riverwinds, Ron Jaworski Celebrity Golf Challenge. And it is official. We replaced Hugh Douglas on the show. He went to get some food, maybe to play some golf. He's gone. But I think we have more than an adequate replacement. One eagle out, another eagle in. Ron Jaworski, Jaws, joining us on the Midday Show. Jaws, we're happy to be here once again for the annual outing. How are you?
Great to be with you. Number one, if Hugh's out there trying to play golf, someone's going to get hurt.
There's no question. Mostly him.
I see him coming back. He's got a plate with like four hamburgers on it.
Yep, he's ready to go. Jaws, this is our fourth year being with you. You've been doing this for so long. Tell us about the outing this year and obviously what this is all about.
It's pretty amazing. I sometimes get a little bit choked up when I talk about the success we've had with the Jaws Youth Playbook and what we've done in the community. And Hugh's back in town, so he would pick up four burger plate he got right there.
Hey, but they got that plate. I got that burger with that good Gouda on that old dog.
Healthy.
Gouda.
But it's the 42nd year, and it's a testament to this community. Not only what my team has done, but this community. And you know, when I think about those early years, we've been doing this, and we never thought we'd get to the point of raising $10 million for at-risk youth in our community. And you guys got a good view here of seeing these kids run around here, their football uniforms on. They're wearing them because we bought them for them.
That's what's up.
And it's amazing. Some kids in some communities just don't get the opportunity to play sports because their parents or that community doesn't have the funds to do it. We're able to help them and give these kids uniforms and coaching and training. And we do so many great things. The committee's amazing. After 42 years, and I think back to some of the guys we had in the beginning, you know, guys like Johnny Unitas were here.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, Michelle Wee, each year. And I've always said this is to me something that's symptomatic of Philadelphia. They want to support the community. And Brandon Graham's coming in. All the guys, year in and year out, support it. And it's not only one or two guys. It's the Eagles organization.
Yep.
It's the Flyers. It's the Sixers. It's the Union. They all get involved. Players from all the sports understand what a great community this is, and they'd love to help. So I couldn't be more thankful to this community for what they've taught me.
Well, we're thankful to you, Jaws, for all the years of this and giving back, and thankful that we could be here and catch up with you and celebrate this and talk a little football. And, Jaws, mini camp in the books now, right? A little time off for the Eagles. They'll come back in training camp. Well, very curious your perspective on the new offense they're putting in. Sean Mannion, we know the scheme he's come from, learning under Sean McVay, working with Matt LaFleur. What's your thought on this offense, which has become very prevalent around the NFL, but this is now the first time we're going to see it here in Philadelphia with the Eagles. Your thought on the Mannion hire and this scheme?
I like the Sean Mannion hire. And, you know, the NFL is an ever-changing league. If you stay static, the team's going to run right by you. If you look at 2 years ago, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. They win it by running the football and playing great defense. Yep. The Seattle Seahawks last year, they won the Super Bowl. What did they do? They ran the football and they played good defense. Now, there are teams that rely on offense occasionally that wins it, but I think the foundation of football has never changed. The essence of the game is being physical. Knock someone on their backside. And I think to a certain degree, we lost our physicality on that offensive line last year, which is absolutely imperative to be successful. So I think it's team number one. We'll get back to the running game. I think the offensive line will be healthier. The defense has been a constant. It's been rock solid under Vic Fangio. But the offense, I think, will change. If anyone has watched Sean Mannion's offense or where he's been, which I can say I have, and I've talked to coaches he's worked with, and I get my really advice from coaches that worked with him, players that worked with him, and he's a very creative guy. But one thing that they all said, he will be the hardest working coach on the staff. That's an interesting state for young. These are coaches that coached with him.
Sure.
At organization, he's been. I'm not going to name those guys because it wouldn't be fair to them. They told me what a hard worker he was. He's one of those guys first in the office. John Gruden set the clock at 3:15, and that's when you get up and you go to work, and you're working until 11, 12 o'clock at night, like Dick Vermeil, who's out here, by the way, supporting this event, talking to everybody. But that's what you have to do. That's what a coach has to do, and he has that pedigree. Now, I can't tell you what this offense is going to do. I think I know. But we won't know until we start playing games, preseason games. And then you still won't know until the first regular season game because in the preseason, no one shows anything.
Yeah, they ain't going to show you anything.
They ain't going to show you anything. So I'm excited about week one against the Commanders, and then we'll see what this offense will be. But it will be different. How will it be different? We got to watch the tape.
How do you view Jalen Hurts's game as it molds into the system, at least what we know about it, right? Because Jalen's had a lot of success here. But this is different than, you know, Jalen. You think of Jalen Hurts, you think of shotgun. You think of seeing the whole field. And, you know, in terms of holding the football, he holds it more than most quarterbacks. And a lot of times he uses legs, he moves, throws the ball down the field. That makes a lot of plays. This system, Josh, from the way I see it, is a little more timing, a little more getting the football out. How do you think Jalen will adapt to the new system?
I think he'll be fine. I think Jalen is a very, very good quarterback. I think in the system he will get a better chance to do it. I'm going to give you my opinion of how I think they should make changes.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be under center more. And if you brought Dick Vermeil in here, who's a Hall of Fame coach, he'd probably tell you there's got to be more under center. It creates a problem for the defense.
Because it freezes everything.
More options. Yes. More options. Turn your back to defense. Now, that's a negative to the quarterback, but also it makes it – when you run play action pass, when you come out of your fake, it's got to come out quick. So you're not taking a full field read. The play action is fake the ball, turn your head, and it's either go here or here. Either here or here. So that ball is out quickly. When you're reading full field, it's a lot more difficult. You're reading safeties, linebackers, corners, all at the same time in your drop back. So I think the fact that the play-action pass game under center will be beneficial, and I think it will be a major part of this offense. But Saquon's got to adjust to it too. And, we'll find out where he is at. I know Jalen likes to be in the shotgun. I think it limits your offense productivity. And I know Saquon would love to get the ball not 6 yards deep in the backfield, get him 4 yards near the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And the big difference last year was – before contact. He got hit way too often before a 2 yard gain.
Yep. Well,
2 years ago when he won the Super Bowl, I think it was like 4.1 yards contact.
He was in the second.
He was off to the races,
So
Ron Jaworski with us. Ron Jaworski, Celebrity Golf Outing. We're here at Riverwinds in Deptford. Great outing every single year. Jaws, as we look forward to this thing, it's hard not to look back because the move the Eagles made a week ago. AJ Brown officially traded to the New England Patriots. Jaws, now that it's over, now that, you know, it's no more speculation, no more maybe they're going to trade him. He's gone. He's off the team. How do you view the new receiver group they put together? Devontae Smith, I think he's ready to take that mantle as the number one. And then it's a whole lot of new behind him, right? It's Mekhi Lemon, the first-round pick out of USC. It's Tavion Wicks, who I think is an interesting player coming from Green Bay where
Very good acquisition. I would agree with you there. I think you're going to see a quicker passing game. You know, AJ was a big, strong wide receiver. 50-50 balls were what he did best.
Yep. Yeah,
I think as I'm trying to envision what this team is going to be like. You guys do every single day. We don't know, and anyone that says they know right now, hey, you could look at Green Bay, look at Minnesota, had this summer somewhat similar style of offense, but we don't know what it's going to be. But I love the fact that Lemon is a guy. He's a good slot receiver. When's the last time we got a good slot receiver in town?
It's been a while.
But he's not the fastest guy, but he is very quick. And I always say this about wide receivers: can they control their body? When you look at tape of guys, can they control their body? The ball is backside shoulder, out in front. He was phenomenal at SC of catching those kinds of balls. So you don't have to make a perfect throw every single time. His body control was phenomenal. So I think he's a shorter, quicker pass game. And Jalen just had to learn to get the ball out quick, and that'll be fine. But I like that we're going to see something different and the tight end more involved. We got to get more explosive plays out of the tight end. And it doesn't have to be 50 yards down the field. Look at the teams that have had great success with tight end. It's a short, quick passing game.
Jaws, how long do you think it realistically will take for them to feel comfortable? Because this is new, right? It's a new blocking scheme up front. It's new for Jalen, some new piece at wide receiver. You know, we're not a very patient town, Jaws. I mean, know that.
Really?
You know it.
Hey, I've been booed by 70,000, cheered by 70,000 about 10 minutes apart.
What's realistic in terms of how long until it starts to click? Is this something where we have to have some patience through September? Should we expect it week one? And now the backdrop is, Jaws, they don't play in the preseason, right? In the old days, you guys play a little bit of the preseason, you got it down a little bit. How long do you think it will take them to feel comfortable in a brand new scheme?
Well, I would say normally it would take time, but they don't have time. Mm. They don't have time. This is a very impatient town. It was not a good year last year, the way we ended the season with the loss. That was not a good way to end the season. People are impatient. They think this is a good football team. I think it's a good football team. How good? I think we're all going to find out. But, you know, the Commanders got better, the Giants got better, and the Cowboys got better.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think we got to be realistic as we approach it. You know, hey, we know we don't like those teams, but you got to be realistic. We can't go out and say, oh, we need 4 weeks to figure this out. No, you're going to go up against the Commanders. I'm thinking that way down the road, Dallas on a Thanksgiving Day. We got all kinds of games against our rivals. In
Rams,
the
Seahawks. There's some tough teams in there.
Good teams. So there is no, we can give us the first quarter of the season. Let's figure this out. No. Week one against the Commanders, we better come out ready to play football.
Who do you view as the team to beat? Seattle won it last year. The Rams' offseason is just wild. I mean, to get McDuffie and then to get Miles Garrett, they feel to me, Jaws, like the best team on paper in the NFL. How do you view the NFC, NFL entering the season?
Well, I think they were the best team last year as well, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're a good football team. Miles Garrett, you talk to this guy about that position. Hugh Douglas, he played that at a Hall of Fame level. You watch Miles Garrett, he dominates a football game.
Yes, he does.
Takes over a football game. I played against Lawrence Taylor twice a year for 10 years of my career when I was with the Eagles. He dominated from the defensive side. You had to know where he was every single play, and how are you going to account for him with two blockers? Well, now you bring in Miles Garrett. Their Ram defense is going to be special, and their offense is very, very good. So I think the Rams is the team to beat.
You know, I didn't expect to ask you about this, but we've had a conversation all week because we're just trying to unpack the whole thing. Eagles had Tanner McKee as their number two, and I think he's been a good development quarterback when he's come in and play. I think he's played pretty well. And then they brought in Andy Dalton this offseason. What do you make of that, and what's your guess on who the number two quarterback will be? Andy's got all this experience, but he's older. But McKee's been in this, you know, with this team now for a few years. What would you make of the Dalton acquisition and who the number two might be?
I actually like the move, and I like Tanner McKee as well. But I think Andy Dalton brings a different element at the quarterback position, a veteran, experienced guy that's played in a lot of systems, and he's still a very talented quarterback. When he has been called to win two or three games at Carolina or find a way to win a game, not as a starting quarterback, he has done that. But I think from Jalen's perspective, he has somebody he could lean on, someone you could talk to. There's a relationship that a player and a coach has, but it's player-coach relationship. You got an Andy Dalton come to the side, and he's seen it all right now.
Right.
This guy's in his late 30s. He's seen it all. He's been productive everywhere he's been. I know Andy very, very well. He's an awesome guy. He's a team player. He's not going to look. He's not going to push. He's going to push Hurts not for the starting role. He's going to push him to be better, not to take his job. And I think that's why you bring in a veteran quarterback. Tanner McKee was not going to push Jalen Hurts. It just wasn't going to happen. But you're going to bring in Andy Dalton. He will push him, and he'll be also a guy that he can be a sounding board for Jalen on the side. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? I think Andy brings that calmness that a veteran quarterback likes to have.
So, Jaws, what do we think? Maybe next year you're going to get Hugh Douglas on the course? I mean, he's dressed for golf today.
You know, I'm getting better, Jaws. You know, last time I got to
get
here,
a shirt. He's got that Brian Dawkins shirt.
Yeah, the Impact shirt.
I got to get a shirt.
And Dawk does great things, too.
Yeah. We'll
I mean, but, you know, I'm getting my golf. This is my golfer time. I got to get into the game.
What about your play? You got to get out there.
You know what? I'm going to look good playing. I'm not going to play good, but I'm going to look good.
You got to look good. But you got to play good, too. You got to look good, but you got to play good.
I got to work myself.
I think next. Next year, we start Hugh at a 7 o'clock tee time, and he rolls in here when he's done.
Yeah. I can get Hugh some lessons.
One of
my Ryan Forsky golf course. We got you covered, Hugh.
We'll film those. We'll put that on YouTube. That would be great.
Bring the camera.
Yes. Jaws, thank you so much, one, for letting us be here again, and two, for everything you do for the community and be on the show today.
Thanks for your support. This is a great community with great sport teams and great fans, and I love to be with you guys. Thank
you. We appreciate it. There he is. Ron Jaworski with us. Thank you. There he goes, Jaws.
Hall of Famer Hugh.
Hall of Famer Hugh. Philadelphia Sports Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Friday. We're live today at Ron Jaworski's Celebrity Golf Challenge. It's interesting hearing Jaw's perspective on the offense, the team, and the patience thing. Because, I think there's a segment of, and it's realistic, like it's going to take some time, but do we have the patience to have patience?
And Jaw says something that even when I started talking about this that I talked about.
Yep.
So this is a Super Bowl contending team. You don't have the luxury of time. It's not fair, but that's why your quarterback makes the big bucks.
Well, that's true.
And the thing that we have to understand when it comes to NFL that don't correlate is time and money. Because if you're making all that money, you don't have time to learn the offense. You have to hit the ground running because that's what's expected of you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because we're talking about the guy that's the air marshal, sky marshal.
Well,
the sky marshal and the sky marshal.
That's only for some people.
The sky marshal has to do it. Like he has to get it done. And you know, I know you guys. When I say stuff like, "Well, Why does it have to be
have
like that?
To.
Because it has to be.
Well,
that's this situation.
I will say, and I, you know, we had company, but he did throw a little cold water on your Andy Dalton thing.
Not really.
Well, he did. He said he's here to be a mentor.
No, he said not to start. He did say
that's
that.
The whole,
but he also said. But he also said that Jalen Hurts has to pick this offense up day one. Like the first game of the season.
Yeah, I could want a lot of things. Yeah. That's just not going to happen because I want it to happen.
I mean, you know, I want bangs now. Can't get them. Can't get them, but I want them.
Elliot has all the bangs you need.
Yeah, listen. Elliot got bangs. Elliot, wear them. Hey, dog, if you listen,
no,
wear your bangs.
No, you can't say that now.
Elliot, wear your
we
bangs.
We told him we would support him, and then you
and
did,
I
not,
am supporting.
You did not support him. You compared him to Mark Davis.
Listen, some of my
that's not a support.
I compare him to Mark Davis.
My it came up. Elliot, I'm sorry, man.
Some of my best friends I ridicule on a regular because I love you. Love you, Elliot. You look like Mark Davis Jr.
We ridicule you every single day on the show.
No.
Love you guys.
He doesn't look like Mark Davis.
He looked like little Mark Davis when he was younger.
It's Mark Davis-esque.
Little Mark Davis is a complete and total insult.
It's not an insult.
Mark
Davis
is
a better looking Mark.
Do you think he prefers young Daryl Morey or a young Mark Davis?
Daryl Morey.
I mean, he was that, like he went from the Morey look to the Mark Davis look.
Would you rather look like Daryl Morey or Mark Davis?
Well, Mark Davis
Mark Davis got
Mark
bread.
Davis still around.
Daryl Morey stole $12 million a year from the Sixers. He's plenty of bread too.
No, listen, Mark Davis met his wife, and she said she didn't know who he was when she met him. Yeah, that's the type of woman I want.
That's a lie.
Those are always the hallmarks of
you
really
strong
relationships.
You think Mark Davis's good-looking wife didn't know he was rich?
Hey, dog.
What do you think about that?
No idea. Yeah. She saw those bangs.
It ain't too many people using a Flowbee to cut their hair, and that's him.
A what?
Y'all remember the Flowbee? You remember the Flowbee?
I don't know what
that
is.
Flowbee?
You remember the Flowbee? Taz, me and Taz
like for
don't
the bowl,
have hair.
It's like for bowl
but it's
haircut?
For the ball. Like the Flowbee was a thing you could use. You couldn't mess up your haircut. Yeah. It was like a Flowbee. Yeah. Like you just put in your hair.
You
and
still
the
use
Flowbee.
The Flowbee?
Well, Joe, I don't use the Flowbee.
Oh, wow.
But people used to use the Flowbee.
Are Flowbees still a thing? Is that the question?
I think if you look it up, it's probably on that nostalgic TV commercial thing where they talk about old TV commercials.
Oh, Flowbee. With Flowbee, at-home haircuts have never been easier.
Yes. Oh. He cut his hair with a Flowbee.
You know, between the two of you and Taz now today.
We got the three. The ball.
On, that's what I'm saying.
It's the ball.
We have
the ball coalition.
We have some nerve commenting on a coworker's hair. We have none. I mean, just like not an ounce.
Little Mark Davis over in the building. Little Mark Davis. Where is he at?
This is an HR violation. I can feel it. I can feel calling a coworker little Mark Davis.
We are lucky Elliot's cool.
Yeah, we are lucky.
Now, Elliot, wear your hair, man. Listen,
how could he
thing.
Wear it after what you just said?
He knows he looks like little Mark Davis.
The next time we see him, he will not have the bangs.
He better have a bang.
No, think about what happened this week. He was insecure about the bangs, right?
They
he told
care.
Us about it. He brought them back today on the morning show, and you called him little Mark Davis. We won't ever see him in bangs again.
If I had hair, I would rock the bangs. That looked pretty.
No, you would not.
Yes, I would.
You've had hair. Have you ever rocked bangs?
I used to have a shag, though. Remember the shag? No. The shag is the black man mother. I used to have a shag. I had a shag. And somebody out there, shout out to somebody
was
out there.
Was this Central State, Douglas?
In Radio Land that know what a shag is. No, this is more like in high school.
High school.
Wow. You had a shag.
Hurricane Hugh had a shag.
Hurricane Hugh had a shag.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Business in the front, party in the back.
All right, let's go to D in Glassboro to help with the nonsense. Good afternoon, D.
Wait. So you guys are just trying to get me to say bang on the radio again.
Well, no, now that's not true. I mean, it's not true.
No, really, if anything, we're trying to pry things out of Hugh so that we can cut them into drops later.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
like when he did, Mark Davis.
Little Mark Davis in the building.
That's kind of mean. And you know what?
I agree. It is
not mean. I love Elliot.
It's mean to do to a coworker and a friend.
Sassy Elliot.
Go ahead, D.
Yeah. And as for Mark Davis's wife not knowing who he is, that is a bold-faced lie.
Nobody
would look at him and be like, "Ooh, let me get with that."
Yeah, he looked different.
If he did not already know he had money.
Yeah, or if she's not blind. Yeah, either way. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So I guess I'm willing to be patient with Jalen. I'm willing to give him like most of the season to figure it out as long as he's improving throughout. But if it's bad, it's bad.
Well, so and I think everything with this is going to be in like the eye of how we see it, and we could feel one way today, we could feel a different way in November or December. I just like, you know, when we first brought this up, D, and he was bringing up like October. I just need more than that. I need a good amount of the season to get information to figure out if he's the guy, because if they bench him in October the way Hugh has suggested, that just feels too early to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a prove it season for Jalen, and as long as if he can prove it, then I love it.
Well, and they would too. Then he would be the guy. All right, D, what do you got for us? Give us something you love, even though you know it's not that great.
Okay, I love it. I know most people think it's disgusting, but spam.
Spam.
Oh, spam's
good.
Spam.
Yeah, spam is ice. When you fry that thing up,
it's a good one. That's like a guilty pleasure food.
Put some cheese on.
Now, is this like an old school thing, or do you still actively eat spam?
Oh, I absolutely actively eat spam because spam is a Hawaiian thing. Like, everybody in Hawaii eats spam.
Yes.
You can go to McDonald's and get spam.
So I went to Hawaii on my honeymoon, and yeah, you're right. Spam is like a normal thing there.
Yep. I didn't know it wasn't normal everywhere because, like, we always just ate it in my house. So then I started offering it to friends. They let me know it was, in fact, disgusting.
Not an everyday
thing. I rock out with spam.
No, it's a good one, though. D, good phone call. Have a great weekend. When was the last time you had some spam, Hugh?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah,
but
maybe
it's
tonight
not,
on the ride to Ohio.
Nah,
spam.
Spam's, you know, it's kind of like just like a junk food for us. It's pretty big in like Philippines and like Hawaii.
Well, I think
and stuff.
That gets the Hawaii connection.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
She's like right. You can get it like at a convenience store or a McDonald's. It's just like this.
So with the obviously there's a limit to the Jalen thing. Like if it's really ugly late in the season. And at a certain point, you're just like, let's pull the plug on this thing and just run. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was so bad.
It's almost like a pitcher that you know the game's over. You're letting him wear a few innings of runs. But eventually, you're still like, all right, let's get this guy out.
I think the pitcher's an interesting analogy. Yeah. Like, Hugh's the manager on the phone in the second inning.
Oh, he's Gabe Kapler pulling Nola.
Well, and I'm a Gabe guy, but that's – you're right. You're the new Gabe Kapler.
No, Hugh Kapler.
But the reality is, right now – there's no expectations, but when the season starts, there's going to be expectations for this football team.
That's
And it begins and ends with the quarterback as of right now.
It does.
Especially if everybody else is looking like they're picking it up.
All right, 215-592-9494. We're live today. Ron Jaworski, Celebrity Golf Challenge. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to your phone calls. Tri-Day, Jalen Hurts. Hugh would pull the plug if it's bad during the season. I'd give him the full year, even if it's not great. I want to see all 17 games of Hurts in this new offense. Your phone calls on all this, and we will get to what A.J. Brown said yesterday up in New England. He's just taking shots left and right now. I mean, this guy, he's got some nerve. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you could trade the entire tournament on Kelce. On Kelce, you can trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. It starts tonight, the United States and Paraguay. And right now, win the whole thing. France, they're about 17%. A $100 trade on France pays out over $550 to win the entire tournament. On Kelce, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position for a limited time. Download the Kelce app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI. Kelce, trade the beautiful game.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
What the hell? What?
Who is this?
What is this?
I don't
this?
Know. Al sent me it.
Okay. It's good 3:30 country for Al. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Al Morgani joins us. We're going to get his top 11. Who sings that, Al?
That's Stompin' Tom Connors. I think he just died last year. It's a hockey classic.
Oh, is it?
It's not as good as Warren Zevon's hockey song, but it's one of the greats.
What's the Warren Zevon hockey song?
Oh, Warren Zevon hit somebody?
Oh, I don't think I know that.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Ah,
tremendous.
Okay. Well, Al, before we get your top 11, now that we have a real hockey guy Wednesday at 3:30, what is your, just the one thing that I'm interested in now is the last week it looked like they were ready to give Ladar an extension. I was of the belief, and I said this with Schwarber, I was like, let him play great again. Worst case scenario, you have to pay him a little bit more, but at least you know he's good at that point. What is your thought on the of Ladar extension?
I would have waited. I know he had a terrific year, but he's a goalie.
Yeah.
He's a terrific citizen, if you will. Everybody likes him. He's a team leader. I didn't think they had to do this. I don't think they broke the bank for it. And I think he's a solid enough citizen. It won't be a case of if it doesn't work out, you can move a goalie all the time. But I thought they could have waited on it. I guess they think, well, we got a good deal here. We got a good price. And he's low maintenance. So it didn't disturb me that much, but I thought I just want to see a little bit more.
Yeah, I always think that. I always think it's a good problem to have if the guy's great and you got to pay him a little bit more. At least you have some peace of mind there. That's all I thought about. Just he's one good year. You know, it really is one starting year for him. In any case.
Yeah, and with goalies, you just never know anyway.
Yep.
It's like a closer.
So, yeah, it is. So, all right, it's top 11 week.
Yeah, I heard that.
Brought you in to get your top 11. What do you think of, just in general, you are a radio scholar. You've been here a long time. What do you think of top 11 week in general?
Well, I like lists in general.
Okay,
I think people that say that it's like easy or whatever have never done the job and also don't want to recognize what people like.
Yes.
There's a reason that people listen and like lists because they get involved in it. And the same people that would argue about that would then argue about the worst list they've heard.
Right,
so,
yes.
So
lists are fun. Lists are fun.
Yeah. Oh, they're absolutely fun. They're a terrific way to get everybody involved and a terrific way to either show stuff off or, be like, I'm going to go outside the box or something, or to let people know just how big an idiot you really are.
Right. And we have some of those on staff. So if you're listening now, the voting is this week. Al's giving his, but the voting is this week. You can vote at 94WIP.com/top11. 50% of the results next week will be from listener vote and 50 will be from staff vote. So you, Al, are the first staff member we've gotten their official top 11 from. So
I'm still a staff member?
Well, yeah.
I applied. I applied for that Odyssey, that opening, that's posting they have WIP 2-6 on Mondays during the summer.
That a shot at me?
It is. You know why I know he's lying? Because he's playing golf at that same time, too. So, yeah. So, all right, Al, your top 11. I think we start with 11, then go to 1. So, who is your number 11 current athlete in Philadelphia?
Number 11 is Tyrese Maxey.
11?
Wow.
Number 11. Yeah, number 11. I like him. I look at him in terms of, could he play in the NHL? Yeah, he has that kind of effort. He could play in the NHL. He gives it all the time. He's fun to watch, effort all the time. And he's a reason to get on board with the team. I think that's an important part of playing in Philadelphia. Although it might seem like it's a cosmetic thing or kind of an intangible, it's very tangible in Philadelphia to have somebody that you want on your team and wants to be here. So he's my number 11 pick.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a lot of positives. And then you
put him
number
11. Yeah.
So,
okay.
All right. Number 10. Now, we have said, though, it's a deep field this year.
Oh, yeah.
It is a very deep field.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 10.
Devontae Smith. Because. Yeah, because, well, what he's going to have to do, I'm looking ahead, but what he put up with last year, like, it was a weird season. Mm-hmm. And I think he showed his stuff, and he never a peep or anything or no complaints. And I guess if you look at it in terms of what they went through with the other guy, this guy's like a heaven to have and to have the talent that he has.
Yeah.
And to a lack of at that position. His lack of ego is only equated by his lack of size. So it's amazing to me what he does. So I've got him as my number 10.
I'll just say here, I don't think Devontae Smith should be ahead of Tyrese Maxey, but okay.
You want to wait? You want to wait to the end?
Well, it's okay. I can't hold. And I like that he said the other guy. Like it's a WIP host we fired that we're not allowed to say his name or something. Okay, all right. Number nine.
Travis Sanheim.
Oh, you're a lunatic.
Hell, Travis Sanheim. And I know people expected the goalie. But you've got a defenseman that eats up 30 minutes a game, makes team camp, plays in the Olympics, plays in the Four Nations. Now you're standing shoulder to shoulder with the best players in the game in a franchise that it's difficult to play that position because you're making up for a lot of mistakes.
Friggin' took a defenseman.
I took a defenseman. I took one of the Travi.
That's all right. I like it.
I mean.
I like it, Al.
Sanheim ahead of Devontae Smith and Tyrese Maxey?
Yep.
Oh,
hey, you got to look at the status in the sport. Because you're not, I mean, you know, you're not traveling with Broads to North Carolina or Vegas, wherever.
Right.
Yeah. Whichever non-Flyers exactly, yeah. team he's cheering for this week. All right. Who's number eight?
Number eight is Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
All right. That's fair.
Look, and again, you know, watch the games, big plays, big moments, up for it all the time. When you need something, it seems like that's where I'm going to look. So I'm going to look and right there. I mean, that team's it's so many stars you can pick from there. So I've got him right there.
Yeah, it seems like he's more up all the time in the off season than in the regular season.
And with it, do you dock him at all that he was dating a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, or do you give him credit for that?
I give him credit for
that. Okay, all right,
I had to give him credit.
Yeah, fair. And nobody cared. That's how you know people love Cooper DeJean.
Yep.
All right.
Then next I've got Jalen Carter.
So number seven, Jalen Carter.
All right. Makes your list. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, you know, you guys think I don't know what I'm talking about. I usually don't, but.
Yeah. Well, I was just waiting for another flyer.
Number six, Kyle Schwarber.
Okay.
A little low.
Nah. Yeah. That's about right.
A little low.
He doesn't play the field.
He's spurring the Red Sox.
It depends on what you think of my number five, who's Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. Bryce at number five?
I've got Bryce at number five. I think he takes – I mean, he can be annoying sometimes, but when you just look at it, I mean, look at his defensive play at a new position.
Oh, please.
Really?
Yeah.
And I still think he's one of the premier players in the game.
Yep.
If you look at that All-Star game, it's like, please be there if you're Major League Baseball. He's still that big name. I still think when he comes up, I'm still looking for the clutch hit. I wish he had like a better GPS on the bases, but other than that,
that's for sure. Yeah,
he might have the worst GPS on the bases for any good player I've ever seen in my entire life.
He is a human yellow light.
Yes, yeah. All right.
Man, he's next four.
Yeah. So number four.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Q. Right, okay.
Yep. Got him right there because I just. I don't know any negative there.
No. No, I don't think there is one.
I need
more interceptions. That's the only thing.
Yeah, more picks.
That's it.
Don't go that way. It's like dragons live here. Don't go over this line. So I've got him there. Number three, I've got Zach Wheeler.
Oh, okay.
Even though he had the injury, came back from it, come back without a rib and do what he does. He had to show it to me again here to get there.
And as a hockey guy, you respect the playing without a rib, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You got to respect that.
Now, if he played hockey, would have only missed a week, but
not 6 months. Yeah.
But, okay.
This is where I get myself in trouble. Ooh. Number two, Christopher Sanchez.
You are kidding me. Great take, artist.
Yeah, hot take. Hit the hot takes alarm.
It's not a hot take.
It is a hot take.
It is not a hot take.
Oh, he is the easy number one.
I don't know.
No, he's not. And the easy number one for me, you play in the NFL, you're a quarterback that's been to the Super Bowl.
Shut up.
Telling you the stuff that went on in that locker room last year.
God.
What he had to deal. No way.
This stuff went on the locker room because he stinks.
I'm telling you, when you're a quarterback, you lead a team, you win.
Wow.
I don't think that the elite coaching staff, if you will, and I think he gets it done. And I I've never seen a guy in Philadelphia have the success he's had with the kind of negativity that surrounds his
because he doesn't pass anyone's eye test.
Sure, Morgani.
He doesn't pass an eye test. That's why.
I told you.
Just unbelievable.
The overrating of the importance of the quarterback position.
It's overrating the quarterback.
It's best player.
Sam Darnold just won the Super Bowl. Drake May just got to the Super Bowl playing horrible. If quarterback was so important, how are those two guys in the Super Bowl?
Well, do it again. Get back there.
Elliot Shore Morgani.
Oh, no, no. Elliot's reasoning is it because.
Yeah.
Just because.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable.
All right, so let me run down Al's list real quick.
Yeah. Okay. Now you can get back to your species, your best species, or what are we doing
here? Spices.
Spices, yes.
Salt of spice?
Number 11.
No, Herb from the Northeast.
That's shocking. I knew this list was going to be awkward when he started off with number 11. Tyrese Maxey at number 11. Smitty at number 10. Travis Sanheim. I thought it was Seaheim. Sanheim at number 11. Number 9. Cooper DeJean at number 8. Jalen Carter at 7. Cal Schwarber at 6. Bryce at 5. Quinyon Mitchell at 4. Zach Wheeler at 3. Christopher Sanchez at 2. And QB1 at number 1 as the top athlete in the city for Al Morgani.
Al, I regret having you on. All right. Thank you, Al.
Great
Have
list,
a good
brother.
One, guys.
All right, there it is.
See you, bye.
Unbelievable. 215-592-9494.
I don't think he's going
to be the only one. Well, there will be others that have him number one, but he will. All right.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second.
About, National Appliance. Jack, you know the National Appliance Warehouse Friends and Family sales event is going on again?
I do, Spike. Thank you for informing everyone out there.
Well, they're our friends. They're our family.
Yes, exactly. I think that's actually the ethos of National Appliance Warehouse is friends and family.
You are friend. You are family. And they treat you like that.
Yeah. Jack. I mean, it's a difference-making service team that takes care of you. They check in on you 24 hours after your appliance is installed and delivered. They make sure that everything went perfectly. They treat you like family. A what-if policy. What if that was my mom, my son, my friend? That's how they treat you at National Appliance Warehouse. So the Friends and Family Savings Event is a perfect way to describe National Appliance Warehouse. Speaking of savings, you're always saving more at National Appliance Warehouse. Your dollar is stretching further because of Price Assure, which is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store, finds a lower price elsewhere.
So you just know you're getting the best price because you're in there and the price just updates. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go on your phone making sure they're doing the work for you.
Tax for Delaware, of course, helps.
Of course.
So take advantage of the Friends and Family Savings Event now at National Appliance Warehouse. It's starting to get warmer out there. You want to be outside more. We're all starting to get the grills going. National Appliance Warehouse has you covered in the grill department. Also, the outdoor kitchen appliances they have for you. Indoor kitchen, over 100 brands, 15,000 square foot showroom, and mattresses. So whatever you need at National Appliance Warehouse, they have for you. You can learn more at nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And when you go, make sure you tell them Fritz sent you.
I cannot believe he put Jalen number one. That is a hot take over Christopher Sanchez. Everyone's list should start with Christopher Sanchez at number one. He's dominant.
Put every quarterback number one then.
Yeah,
if Jalen's going to be number one, then put every quarterback number one because he's the 15th best quarterback in football. And it's like there's so many good players in this town to act like he is the best athlete in the city. 15th best quarterback and 15th best athlete in the city. Like, you guys are crazy.
Outrageous.
You guys are crazy. Okay, 12 to 15.
It's almost as much. Now that I think about it, while you brought up the 15 quarterbacks and the word believe, this guy over here to my right, I can't believe this guy has this T-shirt on today.
What T-shirt?
I can't believe this dude has this
T-shirt. Oh, my Baker T-shirt?
Has this T-shirt on
because
today.
Because we are 52 days to bring me Baker. That's when Tampa's training camp starts. And if he doesn't have a contract by that point, the Baker is on.
It took me about, now before the show, I realized it, but it took me about an hour of being here before I realized Spike had on a Baker Mayfield T-shirt.
Believe.
Yeah,
that's
believe.
What it says.
I can't believe that he has that shirt on. Either way, I got you. But how about Al, man?
Oh, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
I don't think I have Jalen number one on my list.
Well, of course you don't.
Because you're a sportsman.
Al may have convinced me, though.
Oh, no.
I mean, you can get to 15. if you want
like
to.
Like in Philly or of quarterbacks?
What, he's talking about quarterbacks?
Of quarterbacks. So you can. Guys, I don't, but you can.
There's I don't see how. Only by personal preference.
Yeah, well.
That's all it would be. It would be personal preference. It wouldn't be resume. It wouldn't be actual winning. He's won more than any other quarterback in the league since he's been in the league other than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, here's how I think you could do it. Yeah. Is if you were a team, would you take one guy or the other guy?
Right.
So now I do not have him 15, but you could do it because the trouble will come in to get him to 15. You got to put like Trevor Lawrence ahead of him.
Yeah. Great year last year.
Bo Nix ahead of him.
Yeah.
Great year.
You got to put Jordan Love ahead of him.
Great year.
Those guys like that.
I can't take those guys.
Yeah.
You're not taking Jordan Love over Jalen Hurts.
I mean, I probably would actually.
Yeah, I probably would.
Brock Purdy.
What about Jordan Love?
Well, Brock
excites you.
Well, nothing.
He's got a hose.
A lot of good is done for him.
He was great last year with Mannion at the helm.
Mannion was not at the helm.
In my mind, he was. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Stafford, Burrow, May, Lawrence, Caleb Williams, Dak, Herbert, Baker, Bo Nix, Darnold, Goff, Purdy, Love.
That's 16 ahead of Jalen.
Yeah.
And you know, none of those guys
have won.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
It's very easy.
Well, Darnold won, and Mahomes won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Two of them.
Those are the two.
Two of them.
It's very easy to get. If they played here, they would also have done what Jalen did in 2024.
But that doesn't make them better than Jalen. It makes them equal. It means they need just as much help as Jalen needs.
He actually might have enhanced the team in 2024.
Huh?
He might have. The passing offense would have been 28th in the league.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I feel pretty confident those guys would have gone two halves without completing a pass last year.
Okay. Now, listen, that's very hard to do, the non-completions of a pass and a half. But you can go through halves if you follow these guys all year long. Like Caleb Williams, you realize what Caleb Williams looks like quarters 1 through 3?
Yes. He is a Caleb Williams.
And I'm a Caleb Williams guy.
He's like, I always say Luka, when you watch a whole game, doesn't look like when you just watch the highlights.
Right.
Caleb, if you see the highlights, it's unbelievable.
He's amazing in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Yeah, but quarters 1 through 3 is horrendous.
5% of his passes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are probably, to me, 8 or 9 easy yeses.
I would give maybe 5.
I have 8 or 9 easy yeses.
I got...
Okay, you would say Stafford, yes.
Stafford,
Mahomes.
The big four. Stafford and the big four.
Yeah, so the big four being Lamar, Josh Allen,
Joe Burrow.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Who else is...
Everybody else is debatable.
For me, I would take Darnold.
You'll take Sam Darnold over Jalen Hurts?
Yes. Well, they both won a Super Bowl, so you can't do that to me.
No, I wouldn't even do that to you. I'm just... Jalen Hurts.
Yes, I would take
There's
Dak.
There's no way I'm taking Sam Darnold over Jalen
I would
Hurts.
Take Dak. I would take Baker.
Let me tell you why. The number reason why I wouldn't take Dak.
Okay.
Because Dak is a good quarterback. I've conceded that. He's a good quarterback. You can't trust him in a big game. You can't trust Dak in a big game. No one does.
Well, maybe if when he had a big game.
And he's had a ton of talent around him.
He has.
He's had a ton of talent around him.
He has. I agree. What you say is 100% true. 215-592-9494.
This is shutting me up.
No, I don't know what to say other than
you're right.
I'd rather have a guy that can sling it. I'll take my chances. Yes. Right. I can see there's nothing I can say about the playoff thing.
Yeah.
You know. Now, you know, Jalen has had bad playoff games that they pulled them through.
Yeah.
So occasionally you need that.
Yeah.
But also, Jalen has had big playoff games that Dak has not. So 215-592-9494. We'll find out what happened at Eagles practice next. And if Elliott really did get rid of the new haircut.
Come on, E.
Lasted.
I didn't think he would cave. I hope he didn't cave.
I think he caved. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, let's talk about FanDuel. Who do you think will be wearing the ring at the end of the NBA Finals? Take your shot with FanDuel, and you might just be celebrating a victory of your very own. Right now, new customers can hit the court with $350 in bonus bets guaranteed after betting $5 for 7 straight days. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to bet all your favorite players during the NBA's biggest event. Play your game any way you want. Seek out an individual player markets for baskets and rebounds, or build an epic same-game parlay for a chance at a bigger
payout. Yep, that's right. It's up to you. And best of all, with FanDuel, you get paid instantly when you win. I mentioned earlier, game four is tonight. That was a big win by San Antonio to stay alive in this series. I think momentum is starting to swing, so much so that I'm taking San Antonio tonight. But I tell you, if the Knicks do win it, they will win the series. If they don't win tonight, I think the Spurs win this thing in seven. So, ready to play your game? Just visit FanDuel.com/local to join right now to get $350 in bonus bets guaranteed after betting $5 for 7 days. FanDuel, an official partner of the NBA, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Let's talk to Ross Tucker with us as well. We haven't talked to Ross, feels like, in a couple of months. And of course, Ross at Ross Tucker NFL, both locally and nationally, multimedia pro football star, dabbles in the college game as well. Now he does more than that. Good morning, Ross.
How are you guys? Just good to be back with you.
Just splendid. I mean, we got a million things happening here, and intriguing Eagles season up ahead. We haven't talked in a long, long time, so let's get to it here, my man. Ross, let's start with something that kind of flew under the radar yesterday. It's not the biggest story, but it did strike me. The Eagles signing the defensive end, and help me say his name.
A.J. Epenesa.
Epenesa. So one, like, how good is he? And two, how much of a problem is this in the Brandon Graham world of wanting to continue to play? I mean, a DN can't help BG's efforts to get back here.
You know, it's so funny you just say that, Joe. I hadn't thought about BG. I'd almost forgotten about BG. So they signed two guys, actually, yesterday. Michael Jordan, not the basketball player, the offensive guard, football
or offensive the actor.
Guard. Or the yeah, actor. And Epenesa. So I'll tell you why it's yet another example, in my mind, of the Eagles kind of being ahead of the game. If you look at their offense, in particular the offensive line, they don't have a backup guard who's ever played. So at tackle, they have Fred Johnson, and they drafted Markell Bell. And at center, I think they feel pretty good about Drew Kendall, who they took last year. But they don't have a guy at guard. And so it very easily could be the case that Drew Kendall shows he can do it at guard, or maybe it's the rookie Micah Morris. But they're never going to go into a training camp or go into a season with a clear hole. So I'd like them just bringing in an experienced veteran guard in Jordan that gives them a floor, a veteran baseline floor at the position. Epenesa is a little bit different. Epenesa, I always thought, was a really good number three edge guy for the Bills the last 4 or 5 years. He was drafted in the second round for a reason, former five-star out of Iowa. I did his game when he was in the U.S. Army Bowl. The Browns tried to sign him,
Joe. Son of Epenesa.
Yes. The Browns tried to sign him for pretty good money this in March, but they failed him on his physical. So there either is or was something wrong with him. So he didn't pass his physical. But if you look at it right now, he's essentially going to battle to be the fifth edge guy for the Eagles because Grenard is one of the most under-the-radar edge rusher stars in the NFL. We know about Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. Ebikadi was a pretty good three in Atlanta. He's the four here. Epenesa was a pretty good three in Buffalo. He's competing to be the five here. And to your point, Joe, I don't really know where that leaves BG. I think One of the things is if you want, if they want BG
currently
back.
Out. Currently,
yeah,
out.
Currently out. But here's the deal, right? He's probably not a guy that they would want to sign to like the last week or two of the preseason anyway. I think they want to see how it works out with these other guys, with these young guys, because BG, his greatest value might be giving them inside snaps. Because after Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and Ajomo, you're looking at Byron Young, you're looking at Ty Robinson. Mm-hmm. BG was more effective on his inside pass rush snaps towards the end of last year.
All right, so speaking
and
of inside.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, let's get to that. All right, so Russ, let's get to the Jalen Carter thing. So he's a hold-in right now. He's there, but he's not participating in everything. It's probably a contract dispute, probably. Would you, if you're the Eagles, commit big money for long time for Jalen Carter, or do you think there's too much knucklehead stuff to trust him at this stage?
Well, so this is a fascinating question. So first of all, they're not confirming he's a hold-in.
No.
And if you remember, he had the shoulder issues. So it could be a combination of both, but let's just assume, based on your question, that he's a hold-in. Eagles are in a unique spot here because they have him under contract this year. They have him on the fifth-year option next year. They could presumably franchise tag him the year after that. So they could.
And the year after that.
Right, right. So they could.
Four more
however,
years.
However, okay, number one, that is not the Eagles' style at all. The Eagles do not like to get into protracted contract disputes. They don't like unhappy players. He's been a very, very good player for them. I think the truth is probably they're working on it, and there's a number where the Eagles are comfortable with. I'm sure Carter's representation wants a much higher number. And then the job for Howie Roseman and the Eagles organization is to mitigate risk. I would assume that this deal does get done, but I would think it's uniquely structured to take into account Carter's unique personality and or demeanor, basically. You know, let's put it this way. I don't think they're giving Carter a $100 million signing bonus. I think that maybe he can get the average per year he wants, but maybe not the guarantees. I mean, let's just be honest. The guy was the best player in the draft. He didn't go till ninth because of off-the-field issues. Even since he's been with the Eagles, I mean, he didn't play in a game last year because he spit in Dak Prescott's face before the first play. The guy is just kind of a wild card. And the concern there is always, well, once he gets truly life-altering financial security, sometimes it goes south with some of those guys, especially at a position like that where they get double-teamed so much and you need that hunger. Look at the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. They gave Brandon Ayuk a huge contract last year. He didn't play. Now the guy goes on Instagram every day and says, they're dumb, they're stupid. They gave me $50 million for 8 months. I didn't do anything. Like, those are not the guys you want to give $50 million for 8 months. The guys go on Instagram and call you dumb and stupid.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can avoid all that. On the other side of the ball, Ross, a lot of questions about how this offense is going to develop with this group of guys, with Sean Mannion's new system. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, for these linemen, big question mark this year because it felt like they all took a step back last season. How hard is it to learn this new Mannion-style offense for these offensive linemen, and what do you expect it's going to look like?
This is the right question. I was at minicamp yesterday. I spent a lot of time watching the offensive line. This is a different system. This is a unique system. The teams that have had success with it are the teams that have been running it for years and have had offensive linemen in that system for years. Mm-hmm. The good news is the Eagles have a really experienced and talented offensive line. The bad news is this system is essentially new for them. So now you've got a quarterback doing things that he's not done a lot of and he's not overly comfortable with, and there have been some reports he doesn't even like to do it, and you've got an offensive line where you're essentially trying to teach old dogs some new tricks.
Right.
Which means this, basically. The first half of the year, the Eagles' defense is going to have to be awesome and carry the team while they go through some growing pains on offense, because like anything else in life, there's new it's like anybody driving to work right now. I don't care what your job is. You're an electrician, you're a plumber. Like, you know how to do it, but then if you go to a new company and that new company wants you to do it a different way,
you move to a company in France.
Right.
And you have to do the same type stuff, but it's all in a different language.
Right. You can figure it out and you kind of know how to do it, but it's not going to be as smooth as it was with your old company. The Eagles need the defense to be legit awesome the first half of the year. There's going to be growing pains. People, I mean, I already know, Joe and John, the calls you guys are going to get your first few weeks next week, next year, they're not going to like Mannion. They're going to say the offensive line might not look good. They'll say they never should have gotten rid of Stout. Like by the way, at the same time, A.J. Brown, because this is who he is probably going to be tearing it up the first few weeks with the Patriots.
Right.
I can see the future right now. I just want everybody to be able to work through it. And no, let's judge them based on the second half of the year and the whole season.
How and you much know that has patience. Zero chance of happening, Russ, right?
Right. How much
and
more...
by the way, I already know what's going to happen, right? People are going to do a side-by-side comparison of A.J. Brown's stats the first month of the season compared to whoever it is, Mekhi Lemon or Dontavian Wicks. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, A.J. Brown is going to have an awesome year in New England because he's supremely motivated. He knows all eyes are on him. I'm more curious about how AJ will play the year after that and the year after that and the year after that, because I thought he was not quite as explosive. I thought, I'm not going to say he lost a step, but I did not think he was quite the same player last year. The question is, how much of that was physical and how much of that was mental? He wasn't as into it as he should have been.
Ross, Mekhi Becton last year went to the Chargers, and for whatever reason, he's no longer with the Chargers. What went wrong with his year last year, and what's the likelihood he could return as an Eagle?
That's a fascinating point, too, because I hadn't even thought about him in the context of them signing Michael Jordan yesterday. They could have gone Becton's route. Becton was banged up. He was not with Jeff Stoutland. He was not playing next to Lane Johnson. I think he was in and out of the lineup and never really settled in there, never really became what they hoped he could be. You know, there are guys, when you come to an organization like the Eagles and a team that was that good, and let's not forget, Becton was on a one-year deal for not very much money. Then he plays pretty well, goes to the Chargers on a pretty nice deal. I'm telling you, there's guys, and a lot of times, quite frankly, it's the guys that have had weight issues. Those guys, when they get their contracts or they get what they were looking for, whether it's physically or mentally, they're not quite the same the next year. That John, it's a tough sport. Like you have to be extremely mentally disciplined, and that's not easy for people, especially when they get, you know, a huge contract.
So Ross, I want to ask you a question. Let's go back to a few moments ago. We were talking about Mannion and the offense, and they could struggle. So I didn't hear it, but I was told one of the hosts here on WIP had a fascinating question. I think it was John Johnson, and someone told me the question was, gut feeling, do you think the Eagles brass are more committed to Jalen Hurts or Sean Mannion? What's your gut feeling answer to that? If it's not working well with Hurts in the Mannion system, do they scrap the Mannion system or do they scrap Hurts? And I'm talking about, you know, a year from now.
Man, That is a good question. And very unlike you, Joe, to give somebody else credit for it.
Let me tell you something. My mother and father created me, so I spread credit around.
You know, a couple years ago, Kellen Moore, it seemed like, had a bunch of things he wanted to do. And they did some of those things. But it was also kind of clear that some of those things maybe Hurts didn't want to do it, or maybe they just realized, hey, let's go back to some of these things that Hurts is more comfortable with. I don't think they can do that this time. You know, when they had Kellen Moore and he could adjust, Kellen Moore's offense was similar enough to what they had been doing with Steichen and under Sirianni that they could do it. This feels like a burn the boat scenario. Like the Vikings, you know, from Scandinavia. They came to the United States. They burned the boats. They're not going back. They're not going back to the things that Hurts likes to do well. Now, that sounds good now when it's June. I think that will be easier said than done when it becomes, you know, week three or week four and they're averaging 16 points a game. But I would think for this year, they are more committed to – this is just a guess. I have no inside information. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to see it through this year. They like Mannion. They hired him. They let him bring in his tight end coach. They let him bring in his offensive line coach. I think that they know there's going to be some growing pains, struggles, whatever you want to call it. I think they're going to give it the full year. So I guess in that sense, they're more committed to Mannion than going back to what Hurts likes to do. The more interesting question in my mind would be, let's say it is the full year and it doesn't go well. Well, then what? And then there's a lot of questions about Mannion, about Hurts, about Sirianni. If they give it the full year and it doesn't go well across the board, then there could potentially be a lot of decisions that need to be made.
Ross, you said that you were out there at minicamp practice. What is your impression early on of the new offensive line coach, Chris Cooper? You know, based on your experience, how much do you like him, and how much harder is it to learn this new offense with him teaching it compared to what it would have been with Jeff Stoutland?
Well, so I'm a little biased because Cooper's around my age.
Oh,
and you know, he went to North Dakota and then had a really good NFL career. At one point, he was the second highest paid Denver Broncos offensive lineman ever. So to be a late round pick from North Dakota and earn it. And I love that he's been in this system. And I would submit to you, John, listen, I love Stout personally and professionally. But we're just talking about the offensive linemen, old dogs learning new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question that they're probably better off having a guy that played in this system his entire career.
That's great to hear.
Has coached in this system his entire career. I'd rather have Cooper with all of the detail and nuance in this system than Mannion having to more or less teach Stoutland he wants in this system.
Stoutland being the old dog who the new tricks wouldn't have come as easy to as with Cooper, who can rely on his own playing experience as well as his own coaching experience. I think it's a great point.
Right. Stout loves inside zone, and they've had so much success with it, and he loves vertical displacement and knocking them off the ball, knocking them backwards, and they've been so good at it. You know, this system is more about moving them horizontally,
covering them up,
you know, and creating space that way, creating holes that way. And by the way, there was a couple really big holes yesterday that just opened up because of the way this system is. And so I think Cooper has a better understanding of that. Now, nobody listening, even though I'm going to say this and you'll get other offensive linemen to say this, no one's going to care if the offensive line is not playing well the first month of the season. No one's going to care. They're just going to say, it's kind of like the Petullo factor, right? Like, no matter what happened last year, everyone was going to blame Petullo. Yeah. This year, if the offensive line's not playing well, they're going to blame Cooper, and they're going to blame that Stout's not here. I will say this. The players will be the first ones to tell you they deserve some of the responsibility, too, because most of those guys did not play as well last year as they had the year before for various reasons.
All right, Ross, final thing here. In one corner is the Eagles. In the other corner is Dallas, Washington, and the Giants. Clearly, Dallas, Washington, and the Giants looks like the arrow's pointed up. Which corner do you think is more likely to win the division? Most people disagree with me on this. I think it's Dallas, Washington, or the Giants. Most people around here say the Eagles. Who would you give the edge to?
I really think it's close. I think the Cowboys have a chance to be pretty darn good this year. I really do. I would be surprised, Joe, if it were the Commanders or the Giants. That would surprise me. Although, listen, there have been a bunch of surprise teams to win the division over the years, so maybe one of them sneak up and have a really good year. But the Cowboys' offense is going to be electric, and they should be much better on defense with the new coordinator and some of the guys they brought in. That is a true toss-up to me because of the fact that the Eagles are going to go through growing pains on offense. I guess if I had to bet on it, just because it's like, you know, a golfer, you're taking Tiger Woods or the field, I might give a slight lean to the other three. But I still think the Eagles are the best team in the division.
Ross, good stuff, pal. You stay well. We'll talk to you later in the summer. It's always great catching up with you. We encourage everyone to check out Ross's work at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and all the other spots he's featured. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Thanks, Ross.
Stay well, my man. Well, he's back. And when he... what a song. Got to have some respect here. James, you know my deal. When Adolis Garcia plays like this, he is Adonis Garcia.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, he's we haven't back. Heard enough of that.
Well, because he, you know, didn't hit the ball for 2.5
Are
months.
You all right with him flipping the bat?
No.
No, you I'm should not. Be. It's awesome.
He does flip it. Good morning to you, boys and girls. Hope you're having a great day. We got a lot going on, including the Spurs having made it a series last night. And our guy, first time in a couple weeks because he was dealing with some stuff. Of course, the passing of his father and our immense condolences to Ben Davis and his family as Ben rejoins us in studio. Ben, how are you, pal?
I'm doing okay. Top of the morning to you.
To you as well. To your father, to your
Thank
family.
Thank you. Thank you. He was the best.
Tell us about your dad.
Without getting too choked up, he was... I've never met anyone with as big a heart as my father. He was, I was aces.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we're going to be sad to see him go, but we're doing okay. We're hanging in there. And, you know, Mama's, she's built differently, man. She's tough. She's strong as an oak. But we're getting along. We had a great send-off for him last Thursday. So, you know. Great viewing, beautiful mass, you know, crazy. And I would like to go on record and say thank you to you, Joe, for, and this is not against anybody, but seeing you come to support our family was huge. It meant a lot to us.
My pleasure.
So thank you.
It's important. I was happy to be there. I mean, not happy to be there, but, you know, it's important to be there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. Look, we want all good things for you and your family.
Yeah. No, I've been blessed to have a very great support staff. I mean, all you guys reached out to me. And, you know, I was listening to you guys last Thursday before getting ready to go to the services. And I texted Ray. I said, you know, I sent out generic text to everybody.
It's like, I love the Crown Royal line was great.
Oh, yeah.
The big man, great heart, loved his family, and Crown
and
Royal.
And Crown Royal, yeah. But no, it was just, you know, I'd been blessed, like I said, to have a great support staff at my work and everything. People have been so supportive. So thank you to everybody out there. That have been. It's been great.
Well, listen, we're happy to have you back in here. We always want the best for you. Our baseball team is playing better ball.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, it's not April anymore, and they look They look good, Ben. They look like a contender again.
They do, and you know how good Christopher Sanchez is? I mean, this guy, he didn't even have his best stuff last night, and he still went out and threw seven innings with two earned runs.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's unbelievable. And I know there's been a lot of controversy, this and that, about Dombrowski and this. When they traded for Duran last year, I'm like, okay, they got a, you know, back-end piece. This guy's unhittable. Like, he's unbelievable. How good this guy is. He's a massive man.
He may be the best closer they've ever had. They've had Billy Wagner. They had Brad Lidge. They've had Tom.
Jose Mesa.
They've had Papelbon.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Wagner. I mean, Wagner's a Hall of Famer.
Wagner's pretty good.
I know.
So, but he's up there.
I'm telling you, this guy, I didn't know he was this good. I mean, he's got so many weapons.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he wants the ball every night. We saw the post-game interview he did with T-Mac and Johnny last night. He goes, I want to pitch every day. I love that.
Yeah, that is awesome.
He's a character. That was a fun post-game interview.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some calls in here. So there's a lot on the Phils to react to. High water mark of the season right now, 6 games up on 500, game and a half up on a playoff spot. And obviously, you know, as we're talking a lot today about Sirianni, looking back to the AJ thing, it's not so much an AJ conversation as it is a do you blame Sirianni that the AJ thing went off the rails? John does. I don't. Where do you stand? Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Dan right now in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning.
How are we today?
Hi, doing well, Dan.
Condolences to you and your family, Ben.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
No, it's a hard thing. John, what exactly should Nick Sirianni have done when you say to make him buy in? I mean, it's 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl win, playoff every year, over 1,000 yards every year. What more could he have done? Maybe he did everything he could, and this is just the end result of who A.J. Brown is.
Well, what do you think he has been doing if his job is to be the guy who works on the connections within the team? Because I think that's what his self-described job description would be at this point.
Well, that's a big part of it, but it's not all
not
of it.
Designing the plays or calling the plays.
AJ Brown seems to be the only guy
managing relationships. That's his job, right? And this is,
I think,
a huge relationship between two of the best players on your team, and it got completely out of hand. He needed to somehow manage that relationship better. And I know
I
that it's on the players
as well. As long as he could.
What's that?
I think he managed it as well as he could for as long as he could.
That's what I think. Dan, that's what I think.
How did Andy Reid manage T.O. and Donovan?
They got rid of him within a season.
Way worse than this type of relationship.
They got rid of him. How long did that last?
1.5 years.
That's the point he's making, that they couldn't make it last with T.O. They got 4 years out of A.J. is what Dan's trying to say.
Were they his best years? No.
A.J.?
They were his best years, A.J.
Come on, man.
But statistically, they were. He was all-pro twice and all that. Like, I'm just saying they were, technically.
Yeah, I mean, his 2 best years by far were 22 and 23. That was when he was at his best.
You think A.J. Brown's going to go to New England?
Because of the talent here, guys. You think we got the best A.J.? Well, we got half of the best of AJ.
No, I think we got the best AJ until last season, where you can't even manage him anymore, where he's going out in the middle of a playoff game and not even playing his best.
Yeah,
he's choosing that.
I agree, Dan.
He's
I put it on AJ.
How do you get to that point? How do you allow it to deteriorate to that point where you've got your number one wide receiver not trying?
What did you want him to do with
you
my
You blame
point?
AJ. You also blame the guy who says that relationships matter the most.
And some people you just can't mend.
That's what I think.
Obviously, there's a lot more going in that locker room than just AJ Brown and Nick Sirianni in the plays.
There's a lot more personal things that he's going through. That's why he's not here any longer.
Right. And that's why we got a first round and a fifth round for him.
Yeah. You know? All right. Well, listen, Dan, battle lines are drawn. Give me an answer here for the Tim McGraw tickets. Who's abrasive?
I think he's the most abrasive character I've ever seen, Sonny Corleone.
That's a great answer. I think
you gotta get up close like this and bada bing.
I think he's more abrasive than Colonel Jessup.
I do too. Absolutely. I mean, Sonny's a potential winner. That's as abrasive as it gets.
I didn't know if Jessup was going to be beat all show, and I think he got beat with the next caller. 215-592-9494, but it's close. What Seth Joyner said, because Seth agrees with John on the Sirianni AJ front. We'll get to that. Seth said it last week. plus some of the audio from Bob Myers and Mike Ganzi and Sanchez. Unbelievable. More with Ben on the Phils and the whole Philadelphia sports scene. Your phone calls on all of it. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.